You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. And remember, if you're in your car, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints so that you can listen to the newest episode on your way to work or through your commute home and traffic. I'm your host, Ross Jackson, lead analyst over at All Saints Considered. And as always, I'd like to start off with a big thank you and welcome to our newest listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been rocking with me for a minute. So whether it's your first time or your next time, know that you can hit me up on Twitter, and I love hearing from everybody that tunes in, reads, and follows. So hit me up at Ross Jackson ASC, and of course that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news, articles, and podcasts for Saints fans by Saints fans. And for today's edition of Locked On Saints, I've got a quick one for you. You can probably already tell I might sound a little weird. I'm getting sick again. It's happening. But I got a quick one for you today anyway, talking about some of the offensive players to watch on the upcoming combine, which begins Tuesday, February 26th. We're looking over the invite list. I'm going to tell you by position three prospects to look at: quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end, and offensive lineman that you will want to keep an eye on. So I got that coming up for you today, as well as some of the biggest stories from around the league. So that and a little bit of land yap, as always, right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, so as I referenced earlier on in the week, the NFL Combine invite list has dropped, so we are looking over that. We're going to start on the offense to wrap up the week here. We've been talking about prospects and everything, position by position for Saints needs. Let's take a look at who you should be watching during the Combine when it rolls around in a couple weeks. So we're going to start offense today to wrap up this week, and then at the top of next week, Monday or Tuesday, we'll talk about defense, each, you know, different prospects at each of the positions. So let's start off at quarterback. Of course, the Saints aren't necessarily in need of a quarterback. They certainly don't need a starter with Drew Brees returning for the beginning of next year, but they might need a backup, or they might be interested in some kind of a developmental future project that they can sort of house and store behind Drew Brees for a year or two, depending upon how long Drew Brees intends to be around. And then, of course, this all sort of circles around as well if Teddy Bridgewater stays in New Orleans during the free agency period, which will be decided before the draft even rolls around. So some of this might be a moot point in terms of quarterbacks, but they might be looking for a project. So let's take a look at some here. Will Greer out of West Virginia is the first one that I have on my list here. 6'3", 215 pounds, super smart and efficient developmental prospect. All of these quarterbacks are developmental prospects that I'm going to name. Oh, and of course, like, there are going to be players that I'm not going to name here that you should absolutely keep an eye on, right? Like DK Metcalf, like, that's obvious. Kyler Murray, stuff like that. I'm talking about specifically for this episode prospects that you should keep an eye on that are within the Saints' grasp. So that's why I'm starting off with Will Greer here at quarterback. Could be available for the Saints at pick 62. 3,864 passing yards and 37 touchdowns his senior year while completing 67% of his passes, which is outstanding for a college quarterback, and throwing only 8 interceptions. He's not a super quick or strong arm thrower at all, and will need to speed up his release while maintaining his accuracy. Will need to improve his poise in the red zone as well as under pressure in order to function in the NFL. Could be a nice project under Drew Brees if the Saints want to go that high for a quarterback. If they want to wait for a little while, they could go for one of these next two guys. Tyree Jackson out of Buffalo, 6'7", 245 pounds, a massive frame with better mobility than you'd imagine at his size. Adds incredible arm strength as well. Big time cannon on that right arm, and he does a really good job going through his progressions and looking off safeties, which is so that he could continue to improve under Drew Brees. Has the accuracy issues and panics under pressure that you would expect for somebody that's coming out of college from a small school. And, you know, and the worst part about it is that when he panics, he doesn't panic and take a sack. He tends to panic and throw the ball up for grabs. He could just sort of be trained a little bit better to use his mobility to extend plays. That would put him in a better position. Sort of along the same lines, not as mobile, but definitely a nice arm. I don't know if it's Ripien, out of Boise State, 6'2", 220 pounds, purely a developmental prospect. So he'd be a late round get like Jackson. He's played under center center while playing it in the Boise offense, which is definitely a plus. Sometimes that's a big adjustment coming from those spread shotgun offenses and then coming into the NFL where you have to learn how to play under center. And then the center and quarterback exchange becomes a big learning curve for those, you know, young developmental prospects. He's got a quick and tight release accuracy, definitely a plus trait for him. Small hands and fumble issues when he's caught easily in the pocket. Doesn't have a lot of mobility to get away, but is another one of those smart guys, just like Tyree Jackson is. Does a very good job at going through progressions and looking safeties off with his eyes. All right, so for most of these, I have three prospects for you to look at, but for running back, I'm really only looking at two prospects altogether because I don't think that the Saints are really going to go into the draft looking for a running back, though, you know, who knows? We've seen them do it before. They went after Boston Scott last year. They have re-signed Martez Carter to a future and reserve contract, so that puts him on the 90-man roster. He's out of can't remember which college he's out of, but, you know, Mr. Excitement. So he's a good prospect for them to sort of come in and let him challenge Dwayne Washington. But if they wanted to bring in any fresh blood from this year's rookie class, there are a couple of options. You've heard me talk about Rodney Anderson from Oklahoma, who will likely be long gone by the time that the Saints have the opportunity to really sit down and even think about taking a running back, because they probably wouldn't do that until the later rounds. But he's somebody to talk about. 6'1", 220 pounds. He's an explosive runner between the tackles and has the speed to get around the edge of defenses. Also has great ball skills as a receiver and can get involved in every element of the Saints offense, which makes him really appealing. Anderson would be a solid option as a running back three to relieve Ingram and or Kamara should Ingram be re-signed, but his health concerns would make me avoid him entirely if the Saints end up going into this draft searching for someone as a pure running mate to play alongside Kamara to fill in for Ingram's absence if he resigns elsewhere. See, Rodney Anderson suffered season-ending injuries in each the 2015 with a broken leg, 2016 with a fractured vertebrae, and 2018 with an ACL injury, all three of those seasons. Those three red flags alone are enough for him to fall into the later rounds, potentially where the Saints could take him on a flyer if they wanted to take a chance, but I wouldn't put any trust into his body to hold up for extended periods of time, especially if he ends up going off the board earlier than expected. Miles Sanders out of Penn State is a little bit more realistic for the Saints. 5'11", 215 pounds. Not a humongously touted prospect because he spent his first few years under the shadows of Saquon Barkley at Penn State, but his experience as a returner did help him get onto the field immediately as a freshman, where he averaged 20.8 yards per return. His senior year, though, he was finally unleashed, ran 220 times for 1,274 yards and 9 touchdowns, while also adding 24 catches and 139 yards. He'd be the guy that I'd like to see the Saints target in the later rounds, but his combine will determine his draft value, as it so often does. Everyone in the NFL likes a good combine test, particularly in the workouts. I expect him to really make some noise during the combine. He's really athletic, strong runner with some finesse to his name. He'll be a name to watch in the late rounds, and he's often projected as a sixth or seventh round pick, which means that that's going to leave him some room to skyrocket up the boards, but still be in the Saints' grasp in the early portion of day three. All right, so that's three quarterbacks and a couple of running backs. When we come back, we'll talk about wide receivers, tight ends, and offensive linemen, and then we'll jump into some of the biggest stories from around the league. There are some new free agents out there that the Saints might take an interest in. We'll talk about each one of those when we come back, but first, we'll finish up by taking a look at some of our offensive players to watch in the NFL Combine at the end of this month. Don't miss it. Stick around here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, welcome back, family. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about some of the biggest stories from around the league, including some new prospects in the free agent realm for the Saints. But first, let's talk about some more of these combine prospects. We are looking at offensive players to watch at the combine at the end of this month. We're jumping over to wide receiver, tight end, and offensive lineman. I got three of each for you. Let's start off with wide receiver here, Deebo Samuel out of South Carolina. This is a no-brainer. 5'11", 200 pounds, quick, strong, and possesses return ability thanks to his explosiveness. He had a great Senior Bowl week, showed off his red zone capability despite not being a toweringly tall wide receiver. His sheer athleticism makes him a threat anywhere on the field. You can expect the Saints to make a move like this for a player like him, especially if they land a tight end that they're comfortable with in the second round is probably where Deebo Samuel, that's the latest that he would end up going. So if they end up making or landing a tight end that they're comfortable with in free agency, they're still going to be in need of another wide receiver option. So they could go Deebo Samuel in the second. If they want to wait a little bit longer, they could take their chance on waiting on somebody like Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State. You've heard me talk about him several times. 6 foot, even 202 pounds. great route runner with positive physical traits, has great speed, and also brings some special teams experience with him as a gunner playing in punt coverage and kick return coverage. His speed would make him the perfect competition for the number two option after Ted Ginn Jr. is done in New Orleans. His stock, though, will rise astronomically at the combine, especially after he runs his 40. And then my last one here is probably one of my favorites, Jacoby Myers out of North Carolina State, 6'2", 203 pounds. He's a former quarterback that went for over 1,000 yards receiving last year as he transitioned over to being a wide receiver, but his experience in reading coverages as a quarterback allows him to diagnose zone coverage and find pockets in the defense. He's that smart type of player that Sean Payton would fall in love with. He was also named to the ACC First Team All-Conference in 2018. All right, heading over to tight ends here. Probably the most likely selection in the second round will be at this position, or at least that's what's expected. It all kind of depends on what happens in free agency, of course, with some other options likely to be out there like Jesse James, possibly Austin Seferian Jenkins, and somebody that we'll talk about in our third segment when we come back and talk about some of the bigger stories from around the league. So let's talk tight ends here in the draft. Irv Smith Jr. out of Alabama, 6'4", 241 pounds, New Orleans native, so he'd be right at home. Zerloin of NFL.com gave him a Ben Watson comparison, so he's just got all the ties to New Orleans right now. Caught 44 passes for 710 yards and 7 touchdowns in his final year. Works really well as a blocker, both in line and as a lead blocker. Great hand strength, which allows him to win contested catches. Outstanding yards after catch ability, and has some basic technique struggles that can be worked out with a staff like the one in New Orleans. Caleb Wilson out of UCLA is another option. 6'5", 240 pounds. You've heard me talk about him a lot. You have heard people from Whole Nine Sports, Dylan Sanders, come on. Whole Nine Sports has mocked him to the Saints. People around there love Caleb Wilson's, and I don't blame him again. 6'5", 240 pounds. Strictly a pass catcher, which is not a problem in New Orleans, who has blockers in Josh Hill and Garrett Griffin, who are both recently re-signed. And also, look, they put faith in non-blocking tight ends for years, like Jimmy Graham, Kobe Fleener, and Dan Arnold time after time. Much like Irv Smith, he could put on a little bit more weight, but it's not entirely necessary to fit in with New Orleans. He's got big and strong hands and can get up to high point passes, works up the seams well, which also works super well with the Saints play style and Drew Brees' throwing preferences when he's attacking beyond 10 yards. He loves to attack the seam with a good pass catching tight end. Can improve after the catch, but he's got the determination to get there. We'll also need to find a way to improve as a route runner and in creating separation to achieve at the NFL level as well. And finally, Foster Moreau out of LSU. We know the Saints don't draft out of LSU very often, but they drafted Will Clapp last year, so it's still a possibility. Foster would be a late round prospect tight end for the Saints if they don't want to go tight end in the second round. 6'4", 253 pounds, severely underutilized in LSU's deflated passing attack. 24 catches, 278 yards, and 3 scores in 2018. Has great mass, but just a touch shorter than the Saints usually like their tight ends. Great blocker and an adequate pass catcher that has the room to improve with an outstanding offense like the one in New Orleans. Can use his frame to battle for catches, and Greg Zuerlein of NFL.com comments on him as a punishing runner after the catch as well. Will also need to work on route running and creating separation, much like Caleb Wilson, but has the necessary natural abilities to do so. Just didn't really play in a college system in which he needed to progress those skills at all. All right, so we'll wrap this all up by taking a look at some offensive linemen. Chuma Adoga out of USC, 6'4", 304 pounds. Should be no surprise to hear him on my list here, as often as I've talked about him here on the podcast. He's got experience at both tackle positions, though concentrating mostly on right tackle while playing with the Trojans. Standout footwork and long arms benefit him really well along the edge. Great initial punch on the line and a smart player. Will need to build on his strength training to compensate for his really odd build. He's got really skinny calves and a really sort of bulky frame up top, but kind of slender and long-legged down below. Though his initial punch is strong, his build-up to get there is a little bit lengthy, so he'll need to work on that, but that's a technique thing. He'd be a good fit in New Orleans because of his versatility along the offensive line. Which is pretty much sort of the echo across all three of these guys. Martez Ivey out of Florida, 6'5", 309 pounds, another versatile offensive lineman, played in a power conference in the SEC in particular, which people love to talk about. His experience at left tackle and left guard, which are the Saints' two most injured positions along the offensive line, is very important. Would need a good bit of time to develop and can do it alongside in-house prospects like Cameron Tom and Will Clapp. And finally, Michael Dieter out of Wisconsin, 6'5", 322 pounds. Finally, someone with the size of an NFL offensive lineman already on this list. Dieter, I looked at him because he was because of his Wisconsin ties, a manufacturer of reliable NFL offensive linemen. Hell of a resume along the offensive line as well, having played center and left guard his sophomore year in 2016, earning honorable mention All-Conference, then playing his junior year with 14 starts at left tackle, in which he was named first-team All-Conference, and then made the AP second team as an All-American in 2018 back at left guard. Quite a versatile asset that would make him a big-time addition in the New Orleans offense, who could use a sturdy backup right away, as well as someone skilled enough to step into jumbo packages, much like I had hoped of Humboldt State prospect Alex Kappa last season, who ended up going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dieter would likely need to be selected in the second round unless they were able to trade into the third, which could be either trading back, which would be rather uncanny, or finding a way to package and move forward. So, all right, so that does it for the combine list for the offensive side. Some players to watch that could be within the Saints' grasp either in day two or three. Make sure to come back at the beginning of next week, and we're going to be talking about some of the defensive prospects that you can keep an eye on during the combine as well. This is going to be big for a lot of prospects to see whether or not that stock is going to go up or if it's going to drop, and what that means for Saints fans as the NFL draft draws nearer and nearer by the day. So, all right, stick around, because coming up next, we're going to talk about some of the biggest stories from around the league, including the tight end free agent pool, which just got one player deeper for the Saints if they decide to go that route and trying to fill a need at pass catching tight end. Stick around, we got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Before we move on to some of the big stories from around the NFL, let's talk really quickly about some NBA news. The Pelicans have moved on from general manager Dell Demps. If you want to hear more about that and get all the inside information on it, check out Jake Madison over at Locked On Pelicans. He literally tweeted a reaction episode 2 minutes after Woj tweeted that this was going down. This guy is hooked up, so make sure that you check it out so you get all of the inside and important information on what is going down with the New Orleans Pelicans. So check him out on Locked On Pelicans, Jake Madison, which you can follow on Twitter at NolaJake. All right, so digging into a little bit of NFL news, we have some new releases, or at least some updates on releases that are going on from around the league. The tight end pool got a little bit deeper today with the Buffalo Bills releasing longtime tight end Charles Clay. Now, Charles Clay could be an interesting option for the Saints as a veteran tight end if they want to bring him in. You know, they've got a big pool here in free agency. You've got players like Jesse James that are likely going to be available. Jimmy Graham is rumored to become available again from Green Bay. Austin Seferian Jenkins is rumored to be available from Jacksonville. Throw in Charles Clay, who's a little bit on the smaller side for a tight end, 6'3", but, you know, was supposed to be one of the best tight ends to ever play the game when he came through. And though he's not necessarily that, he's definitely no slouch either. Could be an interesting option for the Saints on a cheap one-year deal for the vet to get him in the building and then sort of operating in that same kind of Ben Watson-esque sort of role, to where he, you know, becomes a veteran leader in the locker room, but also gets to play and make a difference on the field. He was not really a go-to target for Josh Allen, but he had really good chemistry with Tyrod Taylor. I imagine that his veteran instincts and veteran savvy would make him really, really reliable for somebody as smart a quarterback as Drew Brees is in this league. I think the two of them would have a lot of really good chemistry. Another release that Saints fans might be interested in is the Denver Broncos letting go of linebacker Brandon Marshall. Longtime Denver Bronco linebacker Brandon Marshall. Talk about a veteran at the position. He has been playing for quite some time. He's one of the more experienced linebackers in the league, one of the more reliable linebackers in the league. Had a bit of a down year last year in comparison to his previous seasons, but of course, he's also a little bit older as well. He could be one of those. We know that the Saints like to bring in veteran linebackers and veteran running backs and veteran cornerbacks, secondary players in particular, into training camp. So he could be somebody that gets a shot with the Saints to earn a spot potentially. I don't know. I think that he's going to get a bigger contract somewhere than the Saints are going to be willing to fork up, especially because they're pretty comfortable with their linebacker core. But it all kind of depends on what goes on with AJ Klein, who already doesn't stay on the field that much once the Saints jump into their nickel packages, which kind of have become their base packages anyway. We know that if the Saints do move on from AJ Klein, either in a trade or as a release, they'd do save $4 million. So depending on how much Brandon Marshall wants to take like a quick 1 year deal somewhere and at a, you know, potential championship contending team, it might be worth it to have a look at him. Not too entirely sure of it, but he definitely would be a good fit as a veteran presence. Kind of the same thing as Charles Clay, could be another veteran presence in the linebacker room, much like DeMario Davis was for last year, but certainly won't have the same impact that DeMario Davis did because he was one of the best free agent pickups across the league in 2018. And though he's probably not going to be an option for the Saints, it's worth noting that Atlanta Falcons have let go of another secondary player, Brian Poole, who really sort of excelled toward the end of last year. If you check out Aaron Freeman over on Twitter at FalcFans, he is the host of Locked On Falcons, and he talked about in a tweet about Poole's first six games versus his last 10 games, and about his improvement there. So he definitely improved later on in the season, particularly operating out of the slot, amassed over 120 tackles in his first couple of years after coming in as an undrafted free agent. So I think that, you know, look, slot corners are hard to find. It's a position that's really important and growing more and more important as more and more teams are jumping into those 11 personnel offensive looks with three wide receivers on the field. So he's somebody that could get paid, but he is, at this point, somebody that maybe the Saints won't have to worry about seeing in the division anymore. Not that Drew Brees was ever afraid of him, because I'm pretty sure he was one of the defensive backs that he spun off of. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Brian Poole sort of go the route of, you know, release players scorned and sign within the NFC South with another team that needs secondary help like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the Saints might not get away from him completely, but at least they'll be away from him in an Atlanta Falcons uniform. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Saints. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure that you come back next week, where we're going to start off the week by talking about some of the defensive players to watch at the NFL Scouting Combine, as it's right around the corner beginning on February 26th. We're also going to talk a little bit about Antonio Brown as well throughout the week. Fox NFL did some kind of a Twitter poll or something like that, and most of the people that commented on it said that he was going to end up with the Saints. And so we'll talk a little bit about that option and what that would mean for the Saints. I'm not about it personally. I don't want that kind of drama in the Saints locker room. I'd much rather see them re-sign Dez Bryant, who, you know, a lot of people do associate with drama, but in the right situation and the situation that he found in New Orleans before he was injured, I definitely think that he would be a more beneficial player to add just for the culture as well as his ability to play the game, which there's no question that Antonio Brown can play the game, but you kind of wonder how much is about the team versus how much is about himself with all of his recent actions. So we'll talk about all of that, even though I kind of just ranted on it now, but I'll talk about it more in detail. So we'll get into that. And then, of course, if you haven't already, make sure you join the Locked On Saints Facebook group for when we do the mock drafts next week. So we'll jump into that. We'll do some first pick, we'll do some fan speak, and then when the Draft Network drops their simulator, we'll jump back and do those as well. So we got all of that coming up here on Locked On Saints, so make sure that you stick around and come back throughout the season. If you haven't subscribed already, please be sure to do so, or rather come back throughout the off season, because I'm still here with you every day. There's no off season for the true NFL, and it's particularly for the true New Orleans Saints fan. So I got you all through the off season. So I will say now, as I always do, thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show, and please take the time to review and drop a rating, as it helps a ton. And remember, if you're in your car, make sure that you tell your iPhone or your smart device or smartphone, whatever you got rocking in there, to play podcast Locked On Saints to catch the newest episode every day. And make sure you subscribe so you know when those newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for all your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.